Welcome to the No Illusions / G'day World Resurrected podcast for Friday, July 8th, 2011. Back with me this week, my old sock puppet, Richard Giles. I forgot to call you the sock puppet last week. I was disappointed.
Yeah, well, I'd even forgotten until just that moment that I ever got called it. So there you go. But there's a bunch of other names that I got called as well. So we've got, I can't remember. all I remember is being... having a whole range of names. I'm sure some of the old-time listeners will remember. They'll be able to tell us.
Well,
tweet us when it is.
I only remember Sock Puppet because I think that's the one that ended up in Wikipedia.
Probably. I haven't read the Wikipedia article in a little while, so that's probably why I didn't.
Hey, guess what I did last night?
What?
I met Rudy Giuliani.
Really?
Yeah.
How did you do that?
Well, he was in Brisbane along with Sir Richard Branson and a group of people for some, let me see what it was called, for the Asia Pacific Cities Summit. Don't know what that was. But, you know, he's a big cigar smoker, Rudy G. Uh-huh. And his limo driver happened to be a friend of mine. That's been to some Podomo events, had a few Podomo cigars, et cetera, et cetera. And so Rudy said, hey, is there anywhere I can get some cigars when I'm in Brisbane? So my mate James Ford gave me a call and said, hey, listen, got Rudy Giuliani in the car and he wants some cigars. And I said, awesome. So we were trying to find a space in his schedule to get him down to the store and the lounge, and his schedule was too tight. So anyway, he was out to dinner at a restaurant called Moo Moo in Brisbane. It's a steak restaurant, and it has like a reasonable sort of outdoor area where you can have a smoke. And they're fairly cigar friendly, I believe, the owners of this. I believe their restaurant on the Gold Coast is actually has like a bit of a cigar humidor and a selection. So anyway, I ran about 8 o'clock last night. I packed up a little flight case full of cigars and went down to Moo Moo and was introduced to Rudy Giuliani and two of his colleagues from Giuliani Partners, which is his security consulting firm that he runs today. Apparently these days he runs a security consulting firm and also a legal firm.
Right.
And, had a lovely chat to him for about 15 minutes. We talked about cigars, and I told him about Podomo, my cigar brand that we sell. And, gave him a bunch of cigars, took a few happy snaps. And, he was very, very warm, engaging, lovely man.
That's pretty wicked. Do you get to chat much about New York or anything like that?
Didn't get into New York politics. So, I was half hoping driving there that there'd be an opportunity to sit down and actually have a cigar with him, but he didn't invite me and he seemed to be deep in conversation with his colleagues. So I excused myself and got on my merry way. But, despite the fact that he's a Republican and I don't think much of the Republicans, I have to say that I've always been a fan of Giuliani's. Did you ever see him on The Letterman Show?
No, I didn't. Was he good, was he?
He was fantastic. When he was mayor of New York, so he was mayor of New York from 1994 to 2001. And he used to just regularly turn up on The Letterman Show and do little sketches. I can remember it was quite often like Dave would be in the middle of some monologue and he'd look off to the side of the stage and go, what? Ugh. And Giuliani would just walk on and grin and wave and, do some stupid little sketch. And, they would set it up like it was completely unplanned. And then he would just walk off again. And Letterman would go, Rudy Giuliani, the mayor of New York, ladies and gentlemen. Just shit like that, It was clever. It was funny. He had a reputation of being a complete hard ass, I think. So maybe it softened his personal profile too.
Did he have – because when you meet – I've always been amazed when you meet people like the caliber that obviously Rudy is, that they have a presence, just in the room. They don't even have to say anything. You kind of feel that there's something different about them. Did you feel that or is it –
No.
It was just like any old bloke in the –
old bloke, yeah. No, he was – I know what you mean because I've met – Rupert Murdoch, I've met Bill Gates, I've met a number of these sorts of guys that absolutely, I felt that just sense of power out of these guys. But no, I didn't get any of that out of Giuliani. He just was very nice and warm and friendly and no airs. He was very excited about the cigars and, you know, asked lots of questions, and I asked him lots of questions about what he likes to smoke, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, it was cool. That was kind of fun.
Yeah, that is pretty wicked.
Yeah, so I will tweet and blog some of those photos later today when I get a chance.
Which will be before the show's released.
Yes, yeah, probably. Yeah, it will be. I'll try and put the show up tonight too.
Cool.
What's the highlight of your week, mate?
Oh, geez, I don't know. Not a lot. We've been flat out at work, which is great fun for me, doing all of the strategy-type development stuff. But I can't say there's been a highlight like meeting Rudy down the street. I don't think anything exciting like that. I went into the Apple store. Does that count?
That's pretty exciting, absolutely.
Yeah, and I met a customer in there, which was kind of cool.
Did you buy anything cool?
No, but I had a look at what I'm trying to do is I've been wanting for ages a way to play my music seamlessly throughout the house. And, of course, the iPhone now gives me the opportunity to do that with stuff like AirPlay. But, of course, no, there isn't any cheap sort of AirPlay solution systems yet, unless you've got an Apple TV, but that's fine for the lounge room, which I've already got. But what I want is I want to listen to music while I'm in the bathroom, having a shower or brushing my teeth. And there isn't really a cheap solution to do that unless I buy some cheap, crappy speakers, which I'm not willing to do either. And I saw Jawbone in the Apple store. I think it's called Jawbone, which is like a Bluetooth speaker system that's made pretty well for the iPhone, I think. But you can essentially Bluetooth your music, which I don't know how I feel about that. I'd rather do AirPlay. And then there was this, so that was about $250, which I was thinking, I don't know if I can afford that to kind of put that in my bathroom. I'm still looking for my sort of pseudo own present to myself for my 40th, you see. And then below that, I said, oh, to the guy that I was meeting there, I said, oh, have you got any AirPlay ones? And he's like, yeah, that one. And he points to the one at the bottom, which is like a Zeppelin something or another from someone, you know, one of the popular music brands. And of course, that one's $800 and something. Looked awesome, but I'm not going to put that in my bathroom. So I haven't got a solution yet. So if anyone comes up with a good one, let me know. But that's what I want to do, is have something that I can AirPlay my music to anywhere in the house and seamlessly migrate from room to room.
Do you spend a lot of time in the bathroom?
Not really. 5 minutes a day. But I want to listen to music while I'm there.
Take your iPad. That's what I do, man.
Crappy little speakers.
I don't know, man. The speakers on my iPad, I mean, I get the iPad too. It's pretty good. And I actually, I tend to watch video. If I'm on the can, I'll be reading. Sometimes I watch video on the can. But, you know, when I'm having my shower and having a shave, brushing my teeth, doing ironing my shirt, that kind of shit in the morning, I'll usually have the iPad running with some video. I'll be watching the news. I normally put on ABC 24 or something like that in the morning and watch the lovely Virginia Trioli, who I remember interviewed me once on ABC Radio about TPN like years ago. And everyone said, she's hard. She's going to be an absolute, you know, complete bitch to you. Scared the shit out of me. But she was actually very charming, very nice. She's funny. You ever watch her on the ABC 24?
No, I don't, to be honest.
She's, I guess with the time difference, by the time you wake up in the morning, it's probably 3 o'clock in the afternoon over here anyway.
Well, they probably delay it, but you see, I'm only interested in tech news anyway.
Right. Well, she's very funny. She's got a very dry sense of humour, and she, comes up with lots of quips during interviews. And I remember seeing her once, a few months ago, interviewing some politician. I think it was Tony Abbott or somebody like that, who was trying to dodge the issue. You know how they do. She'd ask a question, and he'd answer a completely separate question. And she kept bringing him back to point. No, sorry, sir, that's not what I asked you. What I asked you was, that's not actually even an answer to my question. My question was, and she stayed on him like 3-4 times. I was like, oh, my God, this woman, she's fucking amazing. I love it.
I like people that do that. I hate the ones that go for all the soft questions and, you know, the politicians always avoid answering the question and they don't go hard on them asking.
What's your favourite breakfast food? Mr. Minister. I tell you, yeah, there's very few left in Australia that have the ability. I mean, I'm sure it's not got nothing really to do with the, the credentials of the journalists themselves. I'm sure it's got more to do with what the networks enable them to do. It looks like the ABC gives them a bit of clear running. Speaking of news networks, obviously the big news today is that Rupert Murdoch's News of the World newspaper in the UK, 168-year-old tabloid, being shut down after it's been found to have been hacking the phones of all manner of people. Just unbelievable, the shit that they've been pulling, these fuckwits.
Why? And what I want to know is why do people seem surprised about it?
Surprised that they're closing it down, or surprised that they've been hacking phones?
Surprised that they've been hacking phones. I mean, God, some of these companies are ruthless. It doesn't surprise me in the slightest.
Yeah,
I'm not surprised that they're shutting them down either, by the way. But, you know, either of the bits of news don't surprise me.
Mm. Well, the analysis on the shutting it down seems to be that it's just a PR ploy. They're just going to shut this one down and then run one of his other papers, The Sun, on a Sunday. It doesn't run on a Sunday at the moment because it would compete with News of the World, so they're just going to run it on a Sunday instead. So, probably has no major impact apart from the jobs that are being lost. I don't know if they'll be able to absorb those people into the other paper. I wouldn't be surprised if they absorb a lot of them. But, you got to think that if this shit's going down in one Murdoch news organisation, that it's probably not isolated to the one.
Yeah.
I mean, the stories of the phone hacking at News of the World have been coming out now for about 5 years, and every time it comes out, they try and blame it on a bad egg journalist or a bad egg editor, and now it looks like it was obviously not only far more widespread than those people, but has been going on even after they got caught out the first time. They kept going. I mean, some of the phones that were hacked have been even more recent than the original ones. So,
and when they say hacking, what do they mean? Because I haven't followed the news. I only caught the headlines, I think, at the end of yesterday, talking about being caught out. But what do they mean by hacking? Is it going into their voicemail, or is it?
They're going in and getting, and not only listening to, but also apparently deleting the voicemails and text messages of, I think the ones that's caused them the biggest PR hit is teenagers that had been murdered. They went in and hacked these teenagers' phones, listened to and deleted voicemails. And then, the police didn't get to hear the voicemails either. It could have been evidence on these phones that was destroyed. They interfered with the investigation as a result. When they were accused of hacking phones like actors and celebrities, Jude Law or, I don't know, the royalty, I mean, I couldn't give a fuck, really. I mean, it's illegal, so they should get bitch slapped, but who really cares if they hack the phones of royalty or celebrities? I mean, no one really
gets nobody's life and life's on the line, but when somebody's life is on the line, yeah.
Yeah. So, and it's this particular paper's fairly small in the whole scheme of things. I think it had an operating profit of about $29 million last year. So, in the whole scheme of things, with News Corp doing $32 billion in revenue a year, this is really not a big deal. But, you just got to think it's more widespread. And I'd love to see inquiries now in the US, in Australia and in the UK for the other news properties that say, okay, well, it's kind of like the Catholic Church, Okay, you've been caught out letting child raping priests get away with this shit. We now have to do a complete top to bottom audit of your entire organization, and you cease trading until we complete that audit. If it takes 10 years, it takes 10 years, you're out. You they should automatically, the organization globally, in my opinion, should automatically have all of its media licenses revoked until there's a clean bill of health for them as a media organisation produced.
And we know that the chances of that are next to nil.
Exactly. But
I mean, hopefully something will happen in the UK, which could lead to other things elsewhere, but that's the only hope, right? Because they've got their claws into every government around the world.
They do, of course, yeah. They get prime ministers and presidents elected and fired. It's, you know, they absolutely got Kevin Rudd derailed here. You know, so, I mean, at least, I'm not sure about a newspaper. I think anyone can print a newspaper. You don't need a license, but you definitely need a license to own a television network. They should at least get all of their television network licenses. I mean, it's Channel 10 in Australia, and obviously Fox in the US, and B-Sky B in the UK, and not to mention the shit that they've got in China. Revoked until further notice.
Yeah.
But you know it's not going to happen because they run the fucking world. Rupert runs the world.
Yeah, that's right. Pretty well. They've got things locked down tight, don't they? Surprised that they even got caught, really.
But, you know, if you were a politician that kind of despised the fact that Rupert has so much power, this might be your chance to pull the rug out from underneath his feet, you know?
Because if we won't see any of the Australian ones doing that, then will we?
But if you pull away his media power, he has no power. I mean, he's probably still got a shitload of money. But if you pull away his media power, you know, you're removing one threat from the marketplace to your political power. But yeah, you're right. I mean, no one has enough fucking balls in our political landscape to do that, or the US, I'm quite sure.
Yeah, no, not that I can see today, that's for sure.
All right, well, that's one piece of news out of the way. Did you see that WikiLeaks are getting their credit card funds again?
Yeah, but wasn't there something about Visa still not doing it or something like that? Or has that changed as well?
Well, the report that I read this morning, funnily enough, I just pulled up and it's on Fox News' website, said that Visa and MasterCard were again processing payments to WikiLeaks after a seven-month hiatus. But Visa Europe spokesman Simon Klein said that processing the payments was not something that we've sanctioned and that the company was investigating. Now, I don't know if you saw this, but just like within the last week, WikiLeaks and a company called Datacell that I think handles their credit card processing, like their payment gateway, were announced they were going to initiate legal action to sue Visa and MasterCard. And then all of a sudden, you know, within a week, it sounds like these things have been turned back on, but it's changed. A little bit dicey, you know, a little bit unsure about what's happening. Let me just jump into Google News.
Did you see that the Wikipedia advert that was doing a play on the whole MasterCard?
I did. Advert? Totally brilliant. Totally brilliant.
Awesome.
I tell you that if anyone listening hasn't seen that, look it up. WikiLeaks MasterCard spoof. Very cleverly done. Very cleverly done. Yeah, you know, I really hope that I can't remember the amount of money. Oh, yes, I can. $15 million in donations.
Wow.
The credit card companies were holding onto for WikiLeaks. Just wrong. Just rotten. This is a company again that has not been accused. It has been not been charged anyway anywhere in the world of a crime.
Yep.
And yet these companies managed to block $15 million of their funds. And, you know, there's so far been no ramifications. Just totally fucking wrong.
And is he still under household arrest or something like that?
Yeah, he is, I believe. While they're, what do you call it, appealing the decision.
Yeah, guilty until proven innocent.
Yeah, that's right.
I found something on Tech Meme. Just got to mention this because it's quite amusing. the Atlantic Wire, which I'm assuming is an Atlantic, you know, the US newspaper, but I can't tell you because I went to the article and it says, "Pardon us, the Atlantic Wire is undergoing scheduled maintenance and will be up and running again shortly. Check back here soon." Does anybody still do that other than banks?
My God.
It's like a news site and they're undergoing maintenance?
Yeah. Yeah, we don't have a test server. We're just we're just going to do the maintenance on the main server. We don't have any redundancy.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of tech news, it's been a week of Google Plusing. You know, what are your impressions so far?
I'm still not that excited. You know, I get everybody's chatter about you know, the ability to do your circles, and I find that interesting. But the stuff that I've found more intriguing is taking it the next step, which is what people are talking about. So what you can essentially do is you can add people to circles without them knowing that you've added them to circles, which is okay, but it looks like nobody's really using that properly, because I still get a bunch of crap in the feed that is just, at the moment, people linking to their own sites or tech news. And I get my tech news elsewhere. I probably know about the tech news before people put it on Google Plus, so I don't need to check it. And they're not filtering it. Maybe they are, but the fact that none of my close friends are on there is just making it a useless exercise. The thing for me at the moment for Facebook is it's useful because my close friends who just use Facebook because it's easy and that's what they've been using for a year or so, I get updates. So, you know, I know what my friend's kid, you know, did when it fell over in the garden the other day, or, you know, a friend who's sick, or, you know, which sounds like kind of trivial stuff, but it's the stuff that I'm interested in because it's my close friends. All the rest of it I get from everywhere else.
Yeah, but I think you're missing the point. I mean, if people share stuff into their feed, into their public feed, yeah, you're going to get this stream. But the great thing about circles is not only that you can decide who you share stuff with, but you can also decide very easily which stream you look at. So if you're not interested in the public stream, just look at your VIP stream or your friend's stream or something like that.
I do. And there's nothing in there yet.
Yeah, mine either.
so that's my point. You know, like, I mean, partially my point. Yeah, part of my point is that my friends that, you know, it's useful for in that respect, because all the other stuff's already on Twitter or already on Facebook. So there's no.
But do you find that you're using Facebook and Twitter less
since Google Plus?
Yeah.
No.
I mean,
exactly the same thing has happened to me. In fact, in a quicker period of time, that happened when, let me get it right, it was Google Buzz, which came after Google Wave. So these are the iterations, right? And so Google Buzz, I got actually more excited about at the time and looked at for a week and then stopped going back. And I probably looked at Google Plus for a couple of days, and now maybe if I'm lucky, every second day I go and have a look at Google Plus. There's nothing useful for me there.
I'm different, man. I've been spending, I think, more time in Plus in the last week than Facebook or Twitter.
And why is that? What makes it more useful in that respect?
Well, I'll tell you my. I mean, I haven't thought it through in detail, but I'll give you my off the cuff answer. I mean, part of it is obviously I'm still on the learning curve of trying to figure out how to work it, how to set it up, how to configure it, how to optimize it. And so there's an attraction there, whereas, you know, Facebook and Twitter I'm fairly familiar with now. That sort of, you know, geeky, you want to play with the new shiny object thing. So that's probably part of it. But one of the things that I like with this regarding, as opposed to Facebook, is I find it a lot easier in Plus to slip between my circles, because it's all on one page, and you know, so I can just click friends, family, acquaintances. I have following, which is my circle for just people that I don't know. The way I don't know how you've got it set up, but the way I get it set up is my friends stream are people that. The way I think about it is if I actually would catch up with this person for a coffee, because I know them. If they rang me and said, hey, Cameron, it's, you know, Richard, I'd go, oh, yeah, Richard. Then there are acquaintances, which people that I kind of know online but don't really know, you know, probably wouldn't catch up with them for a coffee unless they had something really important to talk about. Then I have the following, which is people that I don't know but I'm just following, either because they've added me or whatever. Then I have a circle of people in Brisbane. I have a cigars circle. I have a family circle. There's nothing in that yet. But, you know, I find that in the one page and the plus page, I can slip between those things fairly quickly. I also have Sparks inbuilt on the page. I've got five or six things now set up in Google Sparks. So I can flick through those again in the one spot and check the latest news on the things that I've, the subjects that I'm interested in. So it's sort of, it's been able to combine, you know, sort of Facebook or / Twitter with Google News, my Google News alerts all in one space, which I really like. And then the other thing I like about it is the, you know, if there's a comment thread happening, like I'm looking at something that Chris Brogan tweeted earlier, or tweeted, plussed. I don't like the, that's one thing I don't like. I'm like, yeah, you're saying I tweeted something, but saying, what do you say, I plussed something, and it just doesn't.
Yeah, or G-plussed, or it just reminds me of a G-spot or something. It's kind of weird.
It just doesn't fall off the tongue.
No.
It doesn't fall off the tongue as easily. But, you know, as people are commenting on his thread, it's updating live. So I guess one of the things I like with this versus Twitter is there's that automatic threading of the comments and the conversation.
Yeah.
You know, which Twitter, you can do that now, most Twitter apps, obviously, I think even in the browser client where you can drill into a comment and see the conversation, which is great, but this has it all in one place. Now, Facebook does that as well, but it doesn't update live. It pops up that little box saying somebody's left a new comment, and you have to hit refresh, and it's just a couple of extra clicks that I don't really need. But in Google Plus, it's all bang, bang, bang. It just updates automatically by itself, which I really like. So I can sit here with the screen open. I can see comments as they're being added to a conversation if I want to, you know, keep it open. I've installed a number of the Google Chrome extensions, including one that sits up in my extension bar that tells me when somebody's commented on a post that I've commented on, or I have notifications or something like that. Although it doesn't seem to be working at the moment. What happened to that? Well, I did have one up until now. Now it's gone.
Found a bug.
Yeah, apparently. But anyway, that I've had that for a couple of days, and I found that that's been really useful. It's enabled me to, it keeps pulling me back to it all the time because it pops up a little thing in my browser window that says I have somebody's said something that I might be interested in. I can tell you about the sort of things that I like about it. What I don't like about it, is I still don't have a good iOS experience. But I believe
apparently they've put it in the store or something.
Yeah, they've submitted it. They're waiting for it to be approved. So,
yeah,
I'm looking forward to that. I don't know, man. It's clean. I guess that's what I like about it too. It's just really clean, and simple. I've also had a problem with Picasa. I've never been a Picasa user, and and I haven't been able to. I haven't found a single app yet for iOS that works. Oh, look at that. Chrissy Dunaway just posted something into Google Plus for the first time. I have to reply to her.
I think the interesting thing is Google's reach might mean that it has some success. But there's no, you know, like, I mean, it was interesting hearing Sean Parker or whoever it was the other week saying that, you know, MySpace didn't execute quickly enough when Facebook was a threat. So and there's no doubt Facebook will execute, although, you know, their Skype deal is interesting because it didn't quite provide the same type of experience as Hangouts within Google Plus. But there's no doubt that Facebook's going to, you know, they'll counter. They'll do stuff in the next few weeks that will copy or, you know, emulate some of the Google Plus features. And so will people leave Facebook? Yeah, maybe. But until they do, you know, Google Plus isn't that intriguing to me. It's more about who's in it than what it does for me. Some of that might change with a decent iOS app. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I think it will be more useful for me when it's on my mobile phone, just by repercussion of the fact that I use my mobile phone in so many different places. You know, that's where I catch up on stuff. You know, it's while I'm on the go, you know, I'm sitting at a bus stop, or I'm, you know, waiting for Louise to try on some new dress or something in a shop, or, you know, I've got some time to kill. And that could be useful. But when I'm at my desk, you know, I'm usually working, and I don't know, it just hasn't added any value to my life as yet.
Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see what happens. Did you run the Facebook Friend Exporter over it?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
I did.
I mean,
just before they shut it down.
Had it work. Yeah.
Yeah, it worked great. Yeah. I mean, I exported it all as a CSV. I haven't got around to importing it all yet, but at least I have all of my Facebook friends as in a CSV file now. So,
yeah, which actually looks valuable.
Yeah, and I was, you know, one of the things that, you know, I think we talked about last week is the fact that you can export stuff out of Google Plus with their takeout option, Google Takeout. You can export your entire social graph out of it at any time, contacts, photos, your entire stream, all of that jazz, which I think is going to be a powerful advantage.
So you can do an export with Facebook. And, you know, whether or not that's useful or not, I don't know. But I think I did one several months back. But I did try out the one for Google Plus. In fact, I exported Buzz, which, the interesting thing from Buzz's point of view for me was because it integrated with Twitter, it was almost like backing up my tweets, which I thought was cool because Twitter's just bloody useless at archiving anything I do. I mean, I'm sure they've got it all archived somewhere, but I can't access it beyond, you know, X many thousand tweets or something like that. So if I want to go back in time, it's just difficult to do in Twitter. Not that it's easy to do anywhere. And I think I mentioned last week that who really cares?
Yeah.
But you know, yeah, it is interesting. I guess, see, that it's like insurance, right? That's all it really is. It's to say, we're not going to lock you in. Here's the insurance policy. You know, if we go bust, like Google will anytime soon, then you can export all of your information, and if anybody's intelligent enough, they can import it into something completely different if they care. So it's like an insurance policy, really.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I think, I mean, there might be some use in having your tweets or your stream exported, but I think it's mostly your social graph that people are interested in, your friends, your photos, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's right. It's your contact list. It's the same as when you've got a contact list anywhere, right? You want to be able to export it so that you can import it into the next mobile phone or laptop or whatever it is that you use.
Yeah, or the next social platform.
Yeah. So we'll see how it plays out. I'll be intrigued to see what Google Plus do with apparently branded type pages that apparently will be released in the next couple of weeks, and also their iOS, and we'll see what happens then. But, yeah, so far it doesn't really drag me in there very often, that's for sure.
Yeah, I saw a mate of mine here last night, Dave Early, who works for Quest Newspapers. It's a News Limited newspaper. He set up a Google Plus account for Quest Community Newspapers, and he tells me it got deleted within 4 hours.
Really?
By Google. I'm wondering how they do that. I mean, are they manually checking every account that gets set up, or are they running some sort of algorithm that picks up dodgy sounding profile names and pushes them up for review? How do you reckon they would do that?
Wow. Usually it's the simple thing that most people do, which is manually, but it wouldn't surprise me because Google Plus have probably got a million different algorithms that work all sorts of things out. So sort of like semantic checking, being able to work out whether or not it's more of a brand. I mean, you could probably just look at, have something run over the name of a Google Plus account and probably pick out 90% of the brands as opposed to people, because there's, you know, dictionary words rather than the names. That'd be one quick way to do it.
Do you think they've got like every conceivable name ever used in a database somewhere? Probably, huh?
Probably. Google have just, you know, acquired it over the years by people searching, right?
Yeah.
It'd be amazing to know what technology. I mean, I keep talking about Latitude because I just find it fascinating. The fact that Google can tell me where my workplace is without me actually telling it tells me they've got some pretty smart technology doing all sorts of stuff, you know. The fact that they care to do that means that they've got a long-term strategy of being, you know, that Star Trek computer that you ask to do things for you and it just knows. So that's where they want to be. They want to own everybody's data and be able to manage everybody's data in all sorts of ways.
Did you see that speech that somebody pushed out there the other day from a Googler about their vision?
No.
See, here's the thing. Now, I'm going to go try and find that, and I don't know how I'm going to find it.
So you saw it in Google Plus?
I think so, yeah. How do I search through my stream now to find that? I find people in the stream, but how do I find old posts in the stream?
That's a good one, isn't it?
Huh.
That's it. Yeah, that's fascinating. I wonder if you can actually do a search. Actually, I saw somebody complain about that because they were like, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but Google, how do I search Google Plus? Which they kind of found ironic, and I guess I do too because we all know Google is the search company and you can't even search your Google Plus account properly. But it comes back to the whole transient nature of, you know, how people see these things happening. But, I mean, that's what was so useful about Twitter search many moons ago when you could actually search back to a decent degree and now you can only see back like a day or something ridiculous, which just happens with growth. But, you know, yeah, fascinating.
Now I'm even trying to scroll through my plus ones and my buzzes and I can't. Oh, likes. Here you go. I can. No, that's not my likes. It's everybody's likes. Oh, no. I like this. They're from 2010. Shit, I had to like it on Buzz. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's a bit clunky. But, you know, I'm sure they'll work it out.
Yeah.
This is only beta. It's only a field trial. Yeah, field
trial. Yeah, that's right. It's not even a beta. It's just a field trial.
Yeah.
Like me.
All right. You got anything else interesting to talk about, bud?
No, I think that's me. There hasn't been that much interesting news this week, has there? Everybody's been talking about Google Plus. That's it.
Pretty much. Particularly on Google Plus. It's all anyone talks about.
Next week, we might have something exciting to talk about. Apple's going to release something.
Lion's supposed to come out today, I think, isn't it?
That was the first rumor. I think the second rumor is the 14th.
Right, so, for iOS 5.
Yeah, and apparently there's been a notification put out to all the Apple stores around the world saying you're having an all-nighter or something on the 13th, which seems to suggest that, yeah, they'll probably be releasing it on the 14th and maybe something else, but unlikely. So we'll probably see that. And it'll probably, as far as I know, it's just getting pushed into the App Store. So that's your upgrade path. Which was cool by me because it's a pain in the ass actually going down to the store.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I look forward to that. All right. Well, have a good week then, I guess.
I will. You too.
This is Cameron and Rich out, folks. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you next week. Ciao.